afternoon, everybody. Ooh, hello. How are we all doing? Everybody doing okay? Our lovely children have gone out and we welcome you all back in. My name is Dillis. For those of you who don't know me, I'm part of the leadership team here at Holy Trinity and going to share with you today. So we've arrived at Palm Sunday. After 5 weeks in Lent, kind of considering the way of Jesus, and after really kind of holding a mirror up to our own discipleship, and we've been thinking about how we follow after him, haven't we, over these last few weeks? And we've talked about a few of the aspects of the way that Jesus lived his life that are really now also key for us as his followers and key for how we live our life out now, which really builds us up and leads us in our own discipleship today. For instance, some of the things that we have talked about over the last few weeks that need to really settle in our hearts, living out of a place of understanding and truly, fully accepting the Father's love for us. Ruth spoke to us then about standing strong against the enemy, what it looks like to take up our own personal cross, and how the cross compels us to really dialogue through our own pain while still continuing to trust God. And then last week, Scott encouraged us to look at how Jesus modeled his vulnerability in his relationships with other people and the value that that can also bring to us in our friendships and in our relationships. And I hope for all of you that there's been some really good opportunities to have good chats with people, be it in your families or with your friends or in our small groups, and to go that little bit deeper both with Jesus and with each other. And all that we've kind of mulled over these last few weeks. And today on Palm Sunday, we are still in Lent, but as we've already said, we're moving into Holy Week now. So we're beginning this beautiful spiritual journey throughout this week, which is such a special week in the life of those of us who follow Jesus. And it is a week that starts off so triumphant. This triumphant entry into Jerusalem. But it then dips into that very dark place. But then, as we know, it ends in victory and it ends in new life. And the little bit that I have to say today, I think it'll be a little bit shorter than normal, I think, because I'd love us to just take a few minutes at the end of this time to take a little bit of time to prepare for this week, to take a few minutes just to take a breath and almost kind of ready ourselves for walking out this week. I really think that spending time in the Word during Holy Week especially, it can be a really visceral kind of experience. I think it's because we're almost shown in kind of real time and in great detail of what happened every day in the run-up to Jesus's journey to the cross and to his crucifixion and then glorious resurrection 3 days later. And the accounts in the Gospels, they give us these different perspectives, both from Jesus himself, from the disciples, and also then from the crowd. There's a lot of milling around and a lot happening and a lot of this, the accounts that we read this week. And as I read the passage for today about Jesus arriving into Jerusalem, I just really found myself wondering what was going through his mind. What was going through the mind of the disciples and what was going through the mind of the crowd? And it's just a few verses, so maybe just a little bit of context is maybe helpful. In the previous chapter in John, Jesus has just raised Lazarus from the dead. And the news of this and all his other miracles is kind of spreading far and wide. And people are now really flocking to see him and wanting to hear what he has to say. And the chief priests and the Pharisees are in a complete tizzy about this guy and what he is doing and who he is saying he is. And they are on the lookout for him. They have alerted people that they want him to be arrested and they want to know where he is and they really want to come after him. So this chain of events that is going to happen prior to his crucifixion, they're now in play. And it's coming up to the time for the Passover in Jerusalem. And many, many Jews are making their way to Jerusalem for this feast. So Jesus is also part of that. It's his community. He is on his way to Jerusalem too. And he stops in Bethany before going into Jerusalem to spend time with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, to spend time with his friends, with the people close to him and his disciples. And it is in the passage we read today that follows on from that. It says, the next day, he makes his way to Jerusalem. The crowds are waiting for him as they've heard on the grapevine that he is arriving. So we're just going to read this together, the passage for today. This is John 12, 12 to 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. So as I said, I'm so drawn to just what is going on here for Jesus, his disciples, and the crowd. And when I think about Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, it must have been such an affirming moment for him. He'd been through so many crowds that, you know, didn't really, you know, understand what he was doing and questioning him. And he's finally been recognized for who he is. He's finally been seen as a savior and a king. But I guess he knows it will be short-lived. And I wonder, was he able to relish that moment? Or was he just uncomfortable, maybe? And was he constantly thinking, none of you know what's about to unfold? But yet this is what he was holding. And I think the beautiful thing to notice is that he's always just so much more interested in what his Father in heaven thought than anybody else. That maybe it meant little to him. I don't know, but this is what was going through my head during the week. But at the same time, he's both human and divine. So surely this was a special moment to feel welcomed, to hear the people cheering him and supporting him. And I almost hope that he really felt that as he came in humble on the donkey. And yet, as we see through the reading, that he was also constantly thinking of his disciples. The fact that he made sure to find the donkey, that he didn't, as Chloe said, come in on a big, beautiful stallion. He found the donkey, and in the Gospel of Mark, it says that he actually told some of the disciples, go and find this donkey. He told them exactly where it would be, who to ask, and who would have it, and they must have been astounded by this. But he did this because it had been prophesied that's how he would come into Jerusalem, but also that this would be what would provide the disciples going forward with that comfort after he was gone, because it would show them again that he was always in control. He was always knew what was ahead, and he always knew his part in it. And as it says in verse 16, they didn't understand at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. In Zechariah, I just wanted to highlight that little bit. In Zechariah 9:9, it is written, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a donkey." Now, in that moment, maybe they didn't remember that particular scripture, but it says that they did later on. And I think, thinking for myself then, I think if I was around in those days, if I was one of Jesus' disciples, that would have brought me great comfort. this little piece of prophecy about the Messiah riding on the donkey, the picture of humility, I think it would have helped me see that there's nothing I could have done to stop that chain of events, even if I'd wanted to, even if I'd understood fully. This had been foretold and had to happen. It had to happen. This was part of God's plan so that our precious, precious Jesus could save the souls of the world and give us that beautiful gift of being in right relationship with God. And the disciples must have been just buzzing, I think, to see all the people welcome him. They must have been just so excited to see these people throwing down palm branches as you would for a king. They must have been thinking, finally, finally, Jesus has been accepted for who we know him to be. And we're here now for the Passover. It's going to be a great few days. And even though Jesus had warned them, he had already told them, look, guys, I'm going to Jerusalem, but I'm going to suffer at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees. I'm sure it was so hard to take in that moment. Surely they had a moment of, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine now. And I would say that this was just one of the most confusing and most hard things to actually move past, because everything, as we know now, changed so drastically in the following days. So I was thinking then, what out of this passage can we take to kind of frame our thoughts and our discipleship, especially as we go into Holy Week? And I think it is actually putting ourselves in the crowd that's actually the most thought-provoking. For me, anyway, it feels like the place where I can ask the question of myself, you know, what is my posture in this account? What is my posture as I see Jesus come in to Jerusalem? The people are crying, Hosanna, which, as Chloe has already said, means please save us. And they were so excited to see Jesus arrive because they did think that he would save them, and he did, but not in the way that they thought. The majority of the crowd expected him to save them from the Roman occupation, the Roman oppression. That is what they were cheering for. They expected him to be something else, not the humble and submissive king that they then witnessed being arrested and killed in the coming days. And this prompted some questions for me, which I'm going to put up in a few minutes. But I'd love you to really try and take these questions with you into this week. How do we welcome Jesus in our day-to-day lives? We know him, and we know he is our Savior and our Sustainer, and we know now what he went through to achieve that for us. But we also, I think if we're really honest, we also expect him still, maybe, to be a certain kind of king in our lives. We expect him sometimes to work things out. We expect his ways maybe to be a little more like our ways rather than the other way around. So do we welcome him for who he is or who we want him to be? Is there a part of your life where you're not maybe welcoming Jesus? And where do you recognize him at work? Where do you need to say yes to him? And I do think when we put ourselves in that account today, when we shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, I think it's good to ask ourselves, how surrendered are we to him? I know for me in my life, I can get so busy, and I can begin to have that kind of inkling that I'm not quite living in peace, or I'm not really living following after Jesus. And instead of stopping and noticing that and holding it, I can tend to keep going, and I can avoid the little gentle nudges to stop and to be with him and to surrender whatever it is that's just slightly off kilter. Because I know I know that maybe he wants to transform something in my character or in my heart, and I think I know that that's going to take a bit of work, or it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable maybe. But I'd really encourage us this week to maybe sit with these questions, to think about really where are we at and how we welcome Jesus. In the difficulties in our lives, are we committed to still shout Hosanna and to praise him when our expectations in life aren't met? And that's a really hard thing to do, but there's breakthrough in that place. Because the crowd in Jerusalem, they began the week shouting, praise him, bless him. And by the end of the week, they were shouting, crucify him. So may we be the ones in the crowd who are able to truly recognize our servant king and be joyous in who he is all the time. May we be the ones who then go out and tell the world who he is and show the world who he is through our own lives. And I'd love to just, as I said, just take the few minutes now for just a little bit of personal reflection and response time. If I can ask Ellie or Colin to come back up and maybe just play a little bit in the background, that would be great. As I said, my life gets very busy. I don't know about you guys. I'm sure you all have busy lives. And Holy Week, I think, is such a great opportunity for us to be able to slow down a little bit and take notice of our servant king. And I'd love to just take this time now to just really let the Holy Spirit minister to us before we go into this week. To just think about the week ahead. Maybe even in this few minutes, look at your week ahead and even make a little plan to look upon Jesus, to ask ourselves these few questions. If you need to write them down or take a photo of them or just ingest them into your heart. But as you read them, do you sense the Lord saying anything to you today? I just encourage you not to move past whatever it is. Don't move past it quickly today. Because he wants you to carry it into this week. He wants to meet you in it. And I came across a poem this week called Palm Sunday Sonnet. It's by a man called Malcolm Gweet. I think he's an Anglican priest in England, but he looks like a really funky guy and writes beautiful things. But I think these words, very thought-provoking and helpful. So I'd love to just read this poem for us and then just pray for us as we go back into worship and as we begin our journey into Holy Week together. Palm Sunday Sonnet. Now to the gate of my Jerusalem, the seething holy city of my heart, the Saviour comes. But will I welcome him? Oh, crowds of easy feelings make a start. They raise their hands, get caught up in the singing, and think the battle won. Too soon they'll find the challenge, the reversal he is bringing. Changes their tune. I know what lies behind the surface flourish that so quickly fades. Self-interest and fearful guardedness, the hardness of the heart, its barricades, and at the core, the dreadful emptiness of a perverted temple. Jesus, come, break my resistance and make me your home.